Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening today. Coming up in a few minutes on The Brian Lehrer Show, the CEO of the power company, PSE&G, which provides a lot of the electricity in New Jersey and some in Connecticut. His name is Ralph Izzo, and he has a reputation among utility executives of being pretty green. He has a science background rather than a business one, including a PhD in physics from Columbia. And he's on record as wanting the government to regulate carbon emissions. Regulate carbon emissions. A CEO of a power company. And he thinks it would be good for the environment and his company. So we'll find out why. But before Ralph Izzo comes on, we'll set this up by taking your calls on greening your home. One of the things that we'll talk about with Mr. Izzo is New Jersey's generous subsidy for solar power installations for homes and businesses, something that may be threatened now. And all the state as well as power company offers of incentives for solar powers and power and other ways to save energy. So let's find out how you are doing it. The question is, how are you greening your home energy use? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I'm not talking about using the new light bulbs or turning off lights when you go out of rooms. I'm talking about the systems in your home. So if you've added solar, we want to hear from you, 212-433-WNYC. We want to save some lines for anybody using geothermal energy. Anybody using it, listening, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What else? Backyard windmills? If you live in Park Slope, you're laughing right now. But backyard windmills do exist and are becoming more common. Anyone listening right now have a personal windmill? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's really talk about what's involved when you call in. I'll ask you the price of your alternative energy system, what kind of government subsidy you may have gotten for it, how it's affecting your energy bill, maybe even a little of the engineering, how it actually works. And tell us if you live in the suburbs, if you think you get a bum rap just for living in the suburbs when you're trying to green the planet in your private home kind of way. And I wonder if anyone can even go beyond that and tell us how you measure the impact on the environment. You know what I mean? Can you quantify it for yourself? If you know the numbers behind how your green energy system is changing your energy bills or your kilowatts, usage, your wattage. Do you know the numbers behind how your green energy system is helping the environment, reducing your carbon footprint? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's start with Ed. No, actually, we're going to start with Barbara in Westport. Barbara, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, it sounds like a great show.
Thanks. Well, you're going to make it a great show. So what you got?
Well, my husband and I, 2 years ago, put 46 solar panels on our house. I should say that we're both diehard New Yorkers who, you know, kind of recently moved out here just because he inherited this sort of rickety old farmhouse that we got kind of attached to.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a wonderful, it's been a wonderful thing because it kind of preyed on me that I wanted to be doing something about the, you know, global warming thing, which I'm a strong believer in. And at this point, we have about, we basically are filling about 100% plus of our electrical needs. Sometimes it's a little less, sometimes it's a little more. And our system was basically designed based on our previous electric bills. So we just kind of tried to guesstimate what kind of a system would cover what we were already using.
And did you say you have 46 solar panels on the house?
Yes.
What does that look like?
Well, you know, the house we live in was built in 1790, so it was a real design question about doing this. And we actually have a bank of 30 panels on the front roof of the house, and they're black, and they blend in perfectly. They just look fine. And then the others are on the back of the house in an area where nobody really sees them.
That's fascinating. Thank you for your call. And I guess you must feel good about this. If you're just give me the what did it cost you? If you're covering 100% of your monthly energy bill, electricity bill through this, what did it actually cost to get
it
in?
The way it was set up is we were one of the beneficiaries of the Connecticut program. So basically we have a $70,000 system, but with all those, you know, with all the credits and so forth, it ends up costing us about $36,000, and that gets basically paid for in the form of a mortgage over 15 years.
I see.
So we pay $200 a month on the mortgage, and then we pay the Connecticut Power Company $16 a month to take our electricity off our system and distribute it.
And give it back to you.
And then we buy it back from them.
Yeah.
We can also use some of our electricity during peak hours.
And what was the average electricity bill in the house before?
It was about $215 a month.
Ah, so there's the equivalent, right? You're paying this $200 per month on the solar system, and it was about $200 a month for the utilities. So it evens out, and then when it's paid for itself, over the course of the mortgage, then it's free.
Yeah, and then in 15 years when we're retiring, we have no electric bill.
How about that? Barbara, thank you very much. It's a great start to this call-in. Let's go to Matthew in Weston, Connecticut. Matthew, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What you got?
Good. Well, I have two things which we're doing to be very energy efficient and not be dependent on the grid. The first thing we have is geothermal energy, which I put the system in the house about 12 years ago. So we take heat from the ground in the winter and we bring it into the house and heat the house with it. And in the summer months, we take heat out of the house and we take cooler air, cooler temperatures from deep in the ground.
Right, and that's how the idea behind geothermal. A lot of people may not realize, under the ground, it's a relatively constant temperature of about 55 degrees. And so
exactly.
If you can tap into that, it's going to warm the house in the winter. It's going to cool the house in the summer, reduce the need for conventional heating and air conditioning. But how does it actually work? How do you actually tap that underground temperature that's really in soil or whatever's down there and not in air?
Well, there are two types of systems. One is a DX type system, so that uses refrigerant, which I really don't like. And the other type which we have is a hydronic loop. So you basically have six wells in the ground with a vertical tube running through them, and you pass water through it. So the heat is transferred into the water, and you bring that into the house, and then it goes into a conventional air handler.
And go ahead.
Sorry, you use a little piece of energy to bump the temperature up from 55 up to about 70, but it's
right.
A very short jump of energy.
How much does it cost?
Well, the system is about twice the cost of a conventional heating and cooling system, but it pays for itself. Mine paid for itself in about 6 years.
And is there a government subsidy for this?
There's actually a 30% tax credit for it, which
that's
I
a federal
think is available.
Federal tax credit.
Yeah, which is available through next year.
Is it noisy? Somebody told me that some geothermal units are noisy, and you have to put it in a place, or you have to have enough house or enough property to put it in a place where it's not going to be disturbing.
Well, the DX-based systems, the refrigerant-based ones, they're usually much, much cheaper, and yes, they are much noisier. My one is very, very quiet, and it just purrs away and keeps doing its thing.
All right. Thank you very much, Matthew. I appreciate it. Let's see. Who else? Jim. And is it Harvey Cedars?
Yes.
Hi. You're building a house.
Well, we're building a house in Neshannock Station, and we're putting almost 8 kilowatts of solar on the roof there. And I'm doing the installation myself, and I'm heading there now to work on part of it. In the house in Harvey Cedars, we've got 3 kilowatts, which the system is maybe 4 years old. It has totally paid for itself in terms of offset electrical costs and the solar credits that it's received. But as a do-it-yourselfer, the system costs very little to put in. Totally, it cost me about $3,000 after the state rebates.
How do you – so I guess it's just a much smaller system than, say, the first woman we heard from Westport, because she's got 46 solar panels, but she's got this 15-year mortgage at $200 a month for the system.
Right. The Harvey Cedars is 20 panels, and that was all out of pocket. The new one is 45 panels.
Did you say wind power on the one you're building?
I also, on that house, I have zoning approval for wind power. I guess 10 kilowatts of wind. After I got the zoning approval and I redid the economics, it's and the economy went to pieces in 2008, basically, I don't think that that system will ever be economically justifiable.
Right. But you're looking into a backyard windmill?
Right. And the goal was building that house was to make it totally sustainable. 100% of our energy needs would be generated on site. That was the design of the house.
And do you think that that will cost you ultimately, let's say over the next 10 years, more than if you just went on the grid and plugged in?
Heavens, no. I expect that it would be an economic payback. That it would cost me far less to live in that house.
Thank you very much. And
my experience in Harvey Cedars, the system is paid for itself, and there is zero energy costs for that house.
Good luck.
And I keep scrupulous records that I can tell you right down to the penny.
Thanks for your call, Jim. Good luck with the new house. And Jan, in Old Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I have a solar hot water system that it heats the hot water, heats the house in the winter, and it heats the pool in the summer. So, and it's not an expensive setup, and there isn't much talk about solar hot water as far as heating. I mean, there's an antifreeze that runs through the panels, but it's basically just a hydronic system, and the panels are set up for winter input, you know, optimum winter input, because in the summer you don't obviously need as much because you have longer sunny days. So,
where are the panels in your case?
They're on a family room. And, I mean, the roof was built, it was an addition. The roof was built, so it has the optimum angle for winter input.
Thank you for your call. Bill in Jackson in New Jersey builds hybrid solar. You run a business, Bill? Do I understand that correctly?
No. This is our home. It's a hybrid heat system. Uses a rock storage bed in a compartment in our basement under the sunroom, and it heats the house for most of the day and up until about 11 o'clock at night most of the time through the winter. When the house calls for heat and the hybrid system doesn't provide enough heat, we have a multi-fuel furnace and a 120-year-old cook stove in the kitchen that we might fire up and use a renewable source such as wood. And we also have the domestic hot water system, such as your previous caller mentioned, on the roof that provides us with 100% of our hot water in the summer, and I'd say 40 to 50% of the domestic hot water need in the wintertime.
Is there any way that you try to measure your carbon footprint?
We've been doing this since 1976. I could imagine that over that long period of time, that was, I think, the last energy crisis that we had. And I really, at the time when we first built it, I kept records, but since then I've been kind of lazy about it and just living off the fat of the land, so to speak.
Is there any downside?
Wood has a downside because it means you have to pick it up and put it in and clean it up and take it out.
Bill, thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who called. You can keep posting with your stories. I think people are really interested in this. We could take calls all morning and all afternoon with the number of people who are calling in to talk about the alternative energy systems in your homes. And I know so many people are interested in hearing what these are. So why don't you continue to post these on our comments page, and other people can read them, and you can keep the conversation going there at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll continue on this in a minute when we bring the CEO of the power company PSE&G into our studio, Ralph Izzo. So stay with us.